We would like to thank our very great friends at Apple Chevrolet in Tinley Park for sponsoring our Canarbel Express live holiday show. It's an event for Toys for Tots. Comes up Friday, December 6th, Tinley Park Convention Center. And Apple Chevrolet is an official Toys for Tots drop-off location. So if you cannot make it out to the event on December 6th, you can stop by Apple Chevrolet and drop off your toys for the United States Marine Corps Reserve's Toys for Tots program. Unwrapped toy, game, or cash donation. You can give it to Apple Chevrolet. They're going to make sure it gets to the right place. And you trust these guys, I'm telling you. 8585 West 159th Street in Tinley Park. As a matter of fact, the new general manager of Apple Chevrolet is a Marine himself. So he will make sure that everything gets to exactly where it has to go. And that's going to be with us on the 6th of December, and then the Marines are going to be there collecting all the toys that day. It's such a great event. It happens every year, and Apple Chevrolet has been with me for the last five of these events, and it is just they're just such great partners and great dear friends. John Alfirovich, or Alfie as he's known, but this time of year he's known as Elfie, he is going to be there as well. Go ask for him when you drop off the toys at Apple Chevrolet. Is Elfie here? Ask, is Elfie here? People are going to, he's going to love that. All right, that's what I need to tell you. Apple Chevrolet, I also need to tell you this. Apple Chevrolet is at 8585 West 159th Street in Tinley Park.
It's an annual tradition like no other. Join WGN Morning News' Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggett, Sarah Jindra as well. All of them will be out there for the Chicago Thanksgiving Day Parade. Thanksgiving morning starting at 8 a.m. on WGN-TV.
Mr. Richard Roper has just stepped into the studio.
Yes.
And you are prepared to tell us about the films that are premiering this weekend on our screens, on our big screens.
That is true.
Now, I want to let's start with Ford versus Ferrari,
sure,
because that's a quality film.
Absolutely. Great film, right? And I know we had the interview, the conversation with Mr. Christian Bale.
Mm-hmm.
You've talked about this, but this is essentially about the Ford Motor Company's attempt in the 1960s to unseat the legendary Ferrari racing team of the 24-hour at Le Mans. Mm-hmm. Which was seemed to be an impossible thing to do. So Matt Damon plays Carroll Shelby, the famed American race car driver, auto designer, who's now retired and is designing the car and wants the perfect driver, who would be Christian Bale's Kenny Miles, who's got just a little bit of a temper. It was a stretch for Christian Bale, as he's noted
in the interview, that's fair,
to play this character. In fact, here's a little clip here where the Kenny Miles character is being told he's not qualified to run an American race because of a small sticker violation, and then Matt Damon comes in to kind of smooth things over.
Nothing in there about my trunk and your lovely little portmanteau.
You're holding the 62 edition of the SCCA.
You can stick this bloody sticker where the sun...
Hey, Bill. Right. Hey, Bill, what seems to be the problem, Bill?
Well, the problem is that Bill here is a...
To spec.
No, he doesn't mean
no,
that.
No, yes, he does.
No,
yes, he does. Yes, no, he really does think that Bill is a...
I'm just doing my job
Bill,
here.
Bill, in my experience, there is, listen to me, something like this, there's always a middle ground. Mm-hmm. All right, now Ken's out of line.
And I'm just doing my job.
I understand you are. You know how he gets on a race day. You know that, all right? But you're not going to DQ us over a trunk.
Happy Bill!
Yeah, I'll handle it.
All right, so there's a sound there. We should explain the visual. The real violation was that his trunk was too big,
yeah,
right? And so he takes a hammer, takes a look at those, gigantic
giant deals, wrench.
Yeah. And then he starts pounding the trunk lid in to make the trunk smaller.
Now it's got the right cubic square inches, if you will. And Christian Bale there, as people know, he's from England, Welsh. And he's played American characters for so long that last year at the Golden Globes, when he made his acceptance speech for Vice, CNN wrote an article, "What's the deal with Christian Bale's accent?" That's just how he sounds!
Yeah, people are like, is he faking that?
But in the interview that we ran here, I actually had to cut out about 6 minutes when I asked him about the accent, because he drilled down so deep in explaining how he came across the accent to play Kenny Miles, which is not exactly the same accent that Christian Bale has, but it's not really what Kenny Miles sounded like in public, because he figured that Kenny Miles probably made his accent sound a little better in public, but he really would have talked like this. It was crazy. That's how dedicated he is. The fun stuff here, though, as Ro knows, has seen the movie, and I think you'll love it, too,
yeah,
is a lot of this is Ford versus Ford. A lot of this is the Ford racing team hierarchy, the PR people, the marketing people. They think this, this mercurial Kenny Miles character is the wrong guy to be representing Ford. He's going to do something wrong. He's going to screw up the image. So Matt Damon's character is forever kind of fighting for his driver just to get him behind the wheel of the car. And that's a lot of cool stuff in there about that as well.
Great performances by not only Christian Bale, Matt Damon, who you just believe for every second
yes,
he's Carroll Shelby, which is an amazing for people who are car geeks, you know, that's in terms of American designers and marketers right. and entrepreneurs, you know, Carroll Shelby is just very much at the top of that, especially in the post-1960s.
Yeah, the Shelby Dodge where, Charger and all those, you know, famous cars.
Right. He was an outfitter. But I got to give props to Tracy Letts, the great Chicago
Steppenwolf
actor,
legend, yeah.
writer, director, wrote August, Osage County. I mean, this guy is like an EGOTs guy. He's an amazing, amazing, amazing talent. He plays Henry Ford II.
Yes.
He is outstanding.
He's great. They have some great scenes as well. So this first-rate ensemble cast, and then the racing sequences, which, of course, a lot of it is done with movie magic, but it really feels like it's 1966 and we're behind the wheel of these cars. The racing sequences are great. The relationship that Kenny Miles has with his young son is really good. The marriage, we get a little bit more of the home life of these. Usually in these movies, all the wife ever does is say, come home safely. And there's more to the characters of the wives and stuff. And as well, I give it 3.5 stars. I thought it was fantastic.
Wow.
I don't even call this a complaint because it's the decision they made, but there is so much about the Ford inner workings. We only see a little bit of Enzo Ferrari, who's great. And the scenes with Ferrari are great, but you know, we don't feel the real rivalry with
right.
Ferrari, because it's all about the Ford inner workings.
But I think that was kind of the deal.
Oh, absolutely. That's the story they wanted to tell.
Yeah.
You know.
It's quite great. 3.5. I'm glad you gave it 3.5 stars. All right. I'm almost afraid to ask you this question.
Yeah.
Do we need another Charlie's Angels movie?
No, we don't.
Okay. Thank you.
We don't.
Let's move on from that.
No, you know, Charlie's
Back
Angels.
In the day.
Everybody loves the idea of Charlie's Angels. If you actually sit through an actual episode from 1978, they're terrible.
And that was known as
Jiggle TV
right.
back in the day. Baywatch, Charlie's Angels. So the three angels that work for Charlie Townsend's detective agency, they'd go undercover. It was really an excuse to get them either skateboarding in bikinis
right.
or on a yacht somewhere. Mm-hmm. Then they remade them. They did a movie version in 2000 and then I think in 2003 with Drew Barrymore and Lucy Liu. Those were horrible, Cameron Diaz. Those movies were worse than a television show. They were stupid. The women themselves, they played them as kind of idiots who just happened to get lucky and solve crimes. Now, Elizabeth Banks, who we love, is the writer, director, and she plays Bosley. There's a bunch of Bosleys in this movie. It's not worth getting into why. In this new Charlie's Angels, which is actually a sequel to the TV show and the movies. So they do some photoshopping stuff. So like Patrick Stewart plays the original Bosley, who's been around for 40 years. So they photoshop him in with Farrah Fawcett.
Oh, no.
In photos, and it looks just like when Photoshop was invented. Like the first Photoshop. It's so bad. And now you got Kristen Stewart leading the cast, very, very great young actresses stuck in yet another stupid plot where everybody's always trying to get that magic scientific breakthrough, which it turns out can be weaponized. Yes, it can be weaponized. So if it falls into the wrong hands, it's so unnecessary, this movie. Do we have a little clip? This is Kristen Stewart, I think we have, as one of Charlie's Angels.
Okay.
Bosley!
Evening, Angels. All this looks very promising. Outstanding. But what about Australian Johnny?
Ta-da!
Oh, you're going to regret this. I was going to give you the world.
The thing is you just talk way too much. You're super clingy and you come on way too strong.
And you are the most incredible woman that I've ever met.
I know. So that's 4 months surveillance, 2 countries, and the most embarrassing date I have ever been on in my life.
Yeah.
Are we good?
I will address this to the U.S. Justice Department, along with all your new friends here. We're good to go.
Wait, who is that?
That's Patrick Stewart as Bosley.
Oh, he's Patrick Stewart.
Yes. Okay. I feel like, who's a great actor, and I feel like he just was handed his lines right before the scene. He's just phoning it in. Oh, good work, Angels. What else do I say now? What's my next line? Where's my jet?
Was Charlie the one that was always on speakerphone?
Charlie was on speakerphone. John Forsythe, who was on
Dynasty. Yeah.
And now there's still a Charlie. That one's, he's passed away according to this, but they use a voice, you know, translator to make him still sound like Charlie. But the conceit of this is that there are like 100 Bosleys because the agency has gone global.
Okay.
So anybody who kind of leads a team of three angels is called Bosley. So Elizabeth Banks plays Bosley.
Oh, you see, you did have to explain it, didn't you?
Yeah, unfortunately. None of that matters.
Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah, she's great. And, you know,
I like her a lot.
You can tell from the dialogue that there's a lot of kind of hipster, you know, chick power stuff, but it's really still just three young women in skimpy outfits, you know, jetting about the planet. The plot is too ridiculous even to get into. But the larger point is they keep making bad movies from bad TV shows. You know, you think of the best movies made from TV shows. You think of Mission Impossible, right? Mm-hmm. The Mission Impossible franchise. The Fugitive. Those were good TV shows to start with. There was a good premise to start with. When you make movies about McHale's Navy
Sanford and
SWAT and, you know, Starsky and Hutch,
yeah.
The Honeymooners, which is a great show, but they almost always end up being terrible movies. They're from another time. The Bewitched movie was horrible.
You know what mm-hmm. I like, though? I liked the 21 Jump Street. Because it was kind of a takeoff on it, as opposed to it wasn't trying to take itself seriously.
They basically just took the title. 21 yeah. Jump Street. They made fun of the fact that no way in the world did Channing Tatum look like a high school kid at any point, you know?
He didn't.
So, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, with Charlie's Angels, they're still trying to stay true to crap. Mm-hmm. You know, they should have just used the title and done something completely different.
This Adam Driver is having quite a career, right?
Yes, sir.
Can we talk about him on the other side? We got to quickly, the big story
yes.
that is happening here in Chicago, just breaking within the last half hour, is that John Cullerton, who's the Senate president, yeah. longstanding, one of the big power brokers in Springfield, is stepping down. And people are confused, and they are bewildered, and they are speculating the worst. So
yeah.
We will talk to a guy who is an expert in this kind of thing. Tom Serafin is going to join us in just a few minutes. Too. And on the other side, can we talk about, there's a couple movies, including this one. Is it Marriage Story that's potentially an Oscar
yes.
contender, right?
And The Report. Adam Driver's in both of those movies.
Scarlett Johansson.
She's in one of those movies.
ScarJo is making her, right after, this is... She was, at this point, falling in love with Colin Jost. Or do you say Yost?
Jost.
She was making this movie. We will tell you all beautiful. About that on the other side. It's very interesting. We are living in very... may we live in interesting times. And yes! Yes, we are living in interesting times! There are no two ways around that. Plus, I got Casey and the Sunshine Band tickets. I can't forget to give those away. So that's coming up as well, because we got the news. Should I just do that here because we got so many other things going on? Can I do that? I'm allowed to do it. All right, that's what I'm going to do. Caller number 19, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Rips us off for a pair of tickets to go see Casey and the Sunshine Band at the Silver Creek Event Center, Four Winds, New Buffalo. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. Get ready to get down tonight. Actually, you'll be getting down on the 28th of December is when you'll be actually getting down, just to be certain of that. That, by the way, Four Winds Casino is your entertainment escape. Kim's got the news right now. Richard Roper is back with us right now. So we're going in between the seismic activity down in Springfield, John Cullerton announcing he's retiring in a shocker to everybody, and movies that are coming out this weekend. They're important. Big weekend, though. These are, you know, we're in big weekends. You got Oscar bait this weekend, of course. We talk about Ford versus Ferrari. Probably will get nominated for a number of different categories. Charlie's Angels, of course. Which will not be nominated. And two Adam Driver movies.
Well, look, we can do the political segue here. You just went from statewide political intrigue to The Report, which is based on the Senate Intelligence Committee commissioning a study of potential torture tactics used by the CIA in the wake of 9/11. Adam Driver plays a real-life guy named Daniel Jones, who was assigned to this. He was given access. They put him in like a lead-lined room in the bowels of the Pentagon somewhere. And he was allowed access to communications between various CIA and other government officials. He couldn't print out any of the documents. He couldn't take any of the documents with him. He could just show up for work every day and put together his report, which ended up being something like 8,000 pages. It took him 5 years to put it together. And then, by that point, Barack Obama had just been elected president. And his office wasn't really all that interested in going public with this because he had just won, partially based on, I'm going to run a bipartisan, you know, across the aisle, let's work together, new era. It's not going to be Dems versus Republicans. And he thought, if I start my presidency with public hearings about the Bush administration, either sanctioning or not knowing about torture tactics, I'm going to use up all my goodwill. So the battle here, in addition to, you know, getting to the truth, is even getting the truth out there. So here's a clip of Adam Driver as Daniel Jones, who's at the end of his rope after 5 years of working on this report and discovering it may never even see the light of day.
If we hadn't stopped Padilla, this entire area would be radioactive today.
Jose Padilla. Padilla found the instructions for his dirty bomb online. in an article entitled Making and Owning an H-Bomb is the kind of challenge real Americans seek. It says, fill two buckets with uranium and swing them above your head as fast as possible. It was a joke. As far as we can tell, everything they attribute to EITs they already had, from other sources, from foreign governments, from other methods. They claim they saved lives, but what they really did was make it impossible to prosecute a mass murderer like KSM, because if what we did to him ever came out in a court of law, the case is over. The guy planned 9/11, and instead of going to jail for the rest of his life, the CIA turned him into a recruiting tool for a war we're still fighting.
Stop meeting with them.
That's Annette Bening as Dianne Feinstein, too.
Ooh,
in this
love
movie. EIT, Enhanced Interrogation Techniques, right? And that's, that was the code for waterboarding and
shoving a
stripping
guy
him naked and shaving him. And the recreations of the torture sequences are really harrowing here. It's a fascinating story. I'm giving it three stars because it's got a lot of that All the President's Men or Spotlight, you know, investigative film. It does get bogged down a little bit in the procedural stuff. You're spending a lot of time with characters hunched over keyboards. But it's an incredible story. It's an amazing tale.
Yeah.
And it's a bipartisan. This is not a liberal attack on the Bush administration. As I said, it really kind of goes after the Obama administration. John Hamm plays Obama's chief of staff, who keeps with his charming way telling Adam Driver, you need to let this go if you want to have a career in government, pal. Let it go. Just let it go. People don't need to know this.
Fun fact, Jose Padilla, classmate of mine at Disney. Disney Magnet School. Not a good student.
Yeah, that was a, well... That's why the dirty bomb didn't go off. They picked him up in Miami. Well, they picked him up in Miami trying to buy the uranium, right? Wasn't that the deal?
Yeah. He was picked up here. No, at O'Hare.
Or maybe at O'Hare, but on his way to Miami. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah, he was on his way out of town.
Yeah, because that was where the thing was going to happen. Yeah, this was a... Yeah, Chicago. That's really a Chicago connection to all this.
He was a former gang member. Remember, a Chicago gang member that turned.
And at the crux of this was, however you feel about these enhanced interrogation techniques, is that they don't historically work, as they prove and point out in this film. Of the 100 and so plus detainees, first of all, 25 of them were not really involved at all. They kept elevating the status of a lot of these guys.
And they're still sitting down there at Guantanamo.
Yeah.
And Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is KSM, as they call him here, still down there.
Yep.
And they stopped the trial of his. They were doing a military-style trial down there with him. And they stopped that halfway through. It's really unclear, what do you do now with those guys?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a crazy... I'm conflicted by this because in a battlefield situation, it's an exigent situation. You need to get information in your right with trained guys like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who stood up to waterboarding. I think it was 28 times or whatever that number was that he had been waterboarded. It was a number.
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah.
It was well over. It was a 24 at least. He had stood up to it for a long time. And then they eventually got stuff, but by the time they got stuff, it was not operational because it was more than years old, what he knew.
Because he'd been out of circulation, and that's the thing. I agree. I mean, look, I understand when people say, who cares? These people, they attacked the United States by any means necessary to get the information, but then there's the other question of whether or not they just tell you what you want to hear when you break them down, prisoners who are being tortured. And there was these two civilians that were brought in by the United States and paid tens of millions of dollars because they had kind of perfected, they said, this technique, even though they had never really used it on anybody until they started using it in these dark sites, on foreign soil. So complex stuff, and the film is smart enough to kind of show all sides of that. But at the heart of it is Adam Driver playing this guy, the real-life guy, who shortly after this adventure decided to go into a different line of work, I think, because he got frustrated with government bureaucracy.
Is this... So you say three stars.
Yeah, I think it's a little too... I think, first of all, it's a tough subject matter. I think a lot of people are going to feel about this the way some of the characters did. Like, this is in the past. We know what happened. We don't want to see about cover-ups or people trying to, keep it under the rug.
There's more going on. The news is more interesting.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems that The Post ran into, which was The Post was, this story, obviously, about the Pentagon Papers, right?
Yep.
And
Tom Hanks, right? How do you go wrong? But... Then it was like, well, I don't know. I'm watching this. Too much of this in the news. It was like after September 11th, you couldn't do movies that were, about the Middle East or about any of that stuff because people were like, they just.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. With a movie like Spotlight, it was about the Catholic Church scandal of like the late 1990s and came out almost 20 years after the fact and really concentrated on the newspaper side of it.
Right.
So you felt like you were learning something.
All right. So Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver are in Marriage report.
Marriage report story. The story of the marriage report. Yeah, marriage story. This is one of those heavy dramas. It's all about a young couple. Adam Driver's a theater director. Scarlett Johansson plays an actress who kind of gave up her career to marry Adam Driver's character. And now after 10 years, they're deciding that they're going to have an amicable divorce. And they're so cool and hip and modern and new age parents that they're not even going to need lawyers when they start initiating divorce proceedings. It's going to be easy. Nothing can possibly go wrong. For the next 2 hours, you can imagine what happens. They end up in, even though they're from New York, they wind up in a Los Angeles courtroom with two $800 an hour attorneys battling it out as they scream at each other. So it's one of those kind of Ingmar Bergman or darker Woody Allen things. You're watching these two good-hearted people who went into the marriage with best intentions. Yes, if it was just the courtroom battles. So, I mean, it's very insightful. I know I'm giving this 3 stars as well. A lot of critics are calling it like the best movie of the year. They're just enthralled by it. And I understand that. To me, it seems a little stagey and a little theatrical and a little overly written. It's actually based on the director, writer, Noah Baumbach, who's a great, great filmmaker, and his marriage to Jennifer Jason Leigh. And it's kind of inspired by that. I'm sure she's going to love this movie. I'm glad we're still divorced.
Well, the lawyers are going to get called again. That's going to be the good news.
You know when you get to the height of absurdity when the two legally separated parents on Halloween make their poor kid go trick-or-treating twice in separate neighborhoods because they have to keep apart from each other. And the poor kid does not want to go a second time. They're just yanking him. They're literally yanking on either arm of this poor kid, using him as a tool, as often happens, unfortunately. So it's good stuff. It's great acting. Adam Driver, he actually has some monologues in here that are like world class. You're stunned. You almost want to give him an ovation if you're seeing it in a theater.
I can't believe that when I first saw him on Girls, I cannot believe that guy from Girls, who got, you know, fully frontal naked in the first season of Girls,
kind of played a goof, you know.
Yeah, I can't believe, like a slacker, right? I can't believe that guy is now probably, in terms of his generation, probably the hottest actor in Hollywood.
He is. And he's in the Star Wars franchises. He was in Black Klansman. I mean, he chooses all these great projects. I didn't see it coming.
Well, they choose him, too.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I did not see it coming. I agree with you. I thought, well, what is this guy? But he's, you know, he's a fascinating cat, Adam Driver. This guy was in the Marines. He was a Marine who was going to go into combat duty until he sustained a serious training injury. And then decided he's going to be an actor.
All right.
So there you have it.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
That was perfect. All right. We'll talk more about all of these things. Well, coming up tomorrow. There's a lot more coming up. We'll see Richard tomorrow as well. And we've got Justin Kaufman, I think is his name, and he's going to be joining us here in 2 minutes.